I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's January 5th, and we have a lot to talk about in 2021. But first, we need to do a little celebrating. I'll be the first to admit that when you think about it, the year 2020 didn't offer much to celebrate. But over the last few days of the year, Congress passed an appropriations bill that the president signed, providing funding for, well, everything that the federal government funds over the course of this new year. And in that bill, there were several wins for people affected by MS. Those wins include $20 million for the MS Research Program at the Department of Defense, and that represents a $4 million increase over the year before. $42.9 billion was earmarked for biomedical research at the National Institutes of Health, and that represents a $1.5 billion increase over the year before. The Lifespan Respite Program, which benefits care partners, was given $7.1 million in funding, and that represents a $1 million increase over the year before. And $7 billion will go toward expanding broadband access, and that includes $250 million for telehealth, which has proven to be a real benefit to so many people living with MS, especially people living in rural areas who may not have easy access to MS specialists, even at times when we're not dealing with a pandemic. And this bill also contained a provision that ended surprise medical billing. Well, that's a lot to celebrate. And I want to especially thank the 36,000 MS activists and the 370 MS Society district activist leaders who made a combined 340 visits to Capitol Hill. They completed hundreds of virtual in-district office visits during the congressional recess. They wrote letters to the editor of their local newspapers, texted and emailed their congressional representatives, and everything else that was done to secure these wins. Each of these appropriations will make life better for families affected by MS. And I want to give a big shout out to Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President for Advocacy and Healthcare Access at the National MS Society, along with Leslie Ritter, Laura Bennett, and their entire team for providing the leadership that helped us influence the conversation in Congress when it came to providing support for families affected by MS. This is what I mean when I say that our voices have power. And if you'd like to add your voice to our advocacy work, you can visit the MS Society's website at nationalmssociety.org/advocacy and click on Become an MS Activist. Your participation will make our voices even stronger. We're starting 2021 talking about some particularly interesting and I think you'll find important MS research. And if you're a regular listener, you know that we talk a lot on this podcast about MS research, because research is the thing that creates the future for people living with MS. And if you listened to other episodes of the podcast, you've probably heard me remind you about how important your participation in research really is, because clinical research can't happen without your participation. Joining me today as my guest is Sarah Loud. Sarah is the CEO of iConquer MS, and iConquer MS describes itself as a people-powered research network that puts you at the center of MS research. And we'll be talking with Sarah about exactly what that means and why I think you should seriously consider getting involved with iConquer MS. But before we get to my conversation with Sarah Loud, there are a few other things that you should know about. An international research team modeled the disability outcomes over 15 years for more than 14,000 people living with relapsing-remitting MS, whose data was part of MSBase, which is an international patient registry. And the results of this study pretty much speak for themselves. Continued treatment with MS disease-modifying therapies reduced disability accrual by between 19 and 44%. It reduced the risk of needing a walking aid by 67% and reduced the frequency of relapses by 40 to 41% over 15 years. So, reduced disability, less likely to need a cane, and fewer relapses. I'd call that extending a better quality of life over a longer period of time. If you've been diagnosed with MS and you're still wondering whether or not you should be starting a disease-modifying therapy, well, this is news you can use. This is evidence that starting and staying on disease-modifying therapy early will provide you with benefits for years to come. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find the link in today's show notes. At the beginning of last month, in episode 170 of Real Talk MS, I devoted the entire episode to a discussion about MS pain. Pain is a common MS symptom, and it's a very personal symptom. Different people can react differently to the same pain sensation, and that only adds to the challenge of assessing and effectively managing pain. So a team of researchers from the University of Michigan and the University of Washington conducted an online survey surveying 842 people living with MS who were experiencing chronic pain that lasted at least 3 months. The survey included clinical measures that assess pain, the existence of overlapping pain conditions, and the use of medications and other pain treatments. So the survey results showed that 41% of the respondents had what's called nociceptive pain. This is pain that occurs when pain receptors, called nociceptors, are activated. Now, in MS, this might result from musculoskeletal issues like injuries, or muscle spasms, or stiffness, or weakness. 9% of the survey respondents had neuropathic pain. Now, neuropathic pain is a result of a short circuit in the nerves that carry signals from the body to the brain due to damage from MS. Neuropathic pain sensations feel like burning, stabbing, sharp or squeezing sensations. And 27% of the survey respondents had a combination of neuropathic pain and nociplastic pain. Now, nociplastic pain occurs when the central nervous system mistakenly perceives pain from non-painful stimulation. For instance, pain from damaged tissue that still persists even after the tissue has already healed. The survey identified migraine as the most common overlapping pain condition, and 2/3 of the survey respondents used non-steroidal inflammatory drugs like Tylenol for all pain types. The survey respondents who experienced nociplastic pain or a combination of nociplastic and neuropathic pain most frequently reported using cannabis-based treatments and other narcotic-based treatments to manage their pain. And cannabis-based products seem to provide significantly more relief to those people dealing with a combination of nociplastic and neuropathic pain compared to those people who are dealing with just neuropathic pain. Developing better MS pain treatments begins with better understanding MS pain, and this study is an important step toward achieving that goal. If you'd like to review the details of the study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Being a care partner can be challenging, and the challenges only increase if you're a long-distance care partner. If you're caring for a friend or family member and you're separated by distance, there are tech tools that can help make your job a little bit easier. And I think smart speakers, like the Amazon Echo or Echo Dot, can be difference makers for people affected by MS. They can eliminate feelings of isolation by providing an instant voice-activated connection to news and entertainment. They can remind someone to take their medication. You can even use Alexa to drop in on a family member or loved one, no matter where they might live, and they don't have to get up or get out of bed or fumble with a phone to talk with you, which can make connecting with them even easier. Now, Amazon has added features to Alexa that are specifically designed to help care partners who may be separated by distance from the friend or family member they're caring for. Called Care Hub, these features allow a care partner to program a set of activity alerts that are delivered from an in-home Alexa-enabled device to the care partner's Alexa app. For instance, Alexa can give you a heads up when the person you're caring for first uses their Alexa device each day, or you can receive a warning if no activity is detected by a certain time. You can even set up your linked account as an emergency contact, so you'll immediately receive a call if the person you're caring for says, "Alexa, call for help." This type of digital monitoring makes it a little easier to be a care partner from a distance. It also allows people to stay in their homes and live independently longer. And as Alexa's artificial intelligence continues to evolve, we can expect more sophisticated features capable of shouldering more of the load when it comes to being an MS care partner. Speaking of care partners, many of you already know that I'm helping lead a project that's focused on proactively connecting MS care partners to resources and support before they find themselves feeling overwhelmed. That project is just one example of the research being done by iConquer MS. iConquer MS is the only MS people-powered research network, and in a moment, we'll meet my guest, the CEO of iConquer MS, Sarah Loud. We talk a lot on this podcast about MS research because research is the thing that creates the future for people living with MS. And if you're a regular Real Talk MS listener, you've heard me describe iConquer MS as a people-powered research network. Joining me today is Sarah Loud, the CEO of iConquer MS, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a people-powered research network and how you can not only participate, but you can put yourself at the center of MS research. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you so much, John. I'm happy to be here.
Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I should mention that I'm participating in an iConquer MS research project, and maybe that's something we can talk about in a bit. But first, Sarah, tell us what iConquer is really all about.
Absolutely. So you actually alluded to it in your introduction, which is putting people affected by MS, and that includes people living with the disease and care partners, at the center of the research process. It's incredibly important to us and to others, and thankfully this is an emerging trend, that the people who are living with the disease or affected by the disease have their rightful spot at the center of defining what research is done and how it's done.
This really goes beyond simply participating. I mean, I know that one of the hot topics being discussed in clinical research today is the value of fully engaging patients in all the phases of research, but sounds like that level of engagement is programmed into the iConquer MS DNA.
Absolutely. So iConquer MS was designed and is run by people affected by MS. And what that means in real life, in translation, is that nothing gets done on the network without the approval of people living with the disease. So let me just tell you a little bit about what we are. We're a virtual network, a virtual community. We're online only. And anyone with an interest in participating in MS research in any number of different ways can join iConquer MS. And what that means is you consent to be part of our network and participate in research studies in a variety of ways. But most importantly, you have an opportunity to shape and define the research, what gets studied, and how it gets studied. And iConquer MS, as I said, is run by people who have the lived experience of the disease. We have a governance structure that includes a governing board, a research committee, an engagement committee, and people living with MS and caregivers are instrumental and have leadership roles in defining how the organization is run, what type of research we engage in, whether or not research studies get approved, what our engagement strategies look like, all of the above. We have so many different roles and responsibilities that people living with the disease have filled.
So tell me a little bit about how it actually works. In other words, when someone comes to your website and raises their hand and says, I want to participate, what happens?
So the first thing that happens is you go through a hopefully not too challenging registration process. We validate your email. You agree that you'll be hearing from us in the future via email. And then you'll be presented with a dashboard. And on the dashboard, you'll see a number of surveys. And you can click on one or more of those surveys and contribute your health and demographic and lived experience information in that way. It's a consented process. It is a research study if you do choose to participate in any of our surveying. So you will go through an informed consent. You'll have a chance to read about what iConquerMS does, how we protect your data, how we protect your identity, and things like that. And then once you've become a member of iConquerMS, you'll hear from us on a pretty regular basis about opportunities to participate in research in a variety of ways, depending on your particular disease course, your treatment history, things like that. If you are a person living with MS, you might get invited to participate in a focus group, or you might get invited to complete a survey on the way a particular research project is being designed and to provide your input as to whether or not you think that the research is being done in a way that will actually be beneficial and something that people living with MS or caregivers are willing to participate in. You can also suggest research questions. If you have questions that you're hoping that researchers will answer in the future, you can suggest those. We're also working on a process that will hopefully be unveiled in about a month's time frame, where you'll be able to vote and help us prioritize what research questions we should be putting forward to researchers. And then there are other ways to participate as well. As I mentioned, we have this robust governance structure. If you're interested in being considered for a position on one of those committees, there's absolutely opportunities to do that. And we have many short-term task forces that we also do, where we might have a high priority issue or project that we want to move forward quickly, and we turn to our community to assist us with that. And so there, you'll hear about those sorts of opportunities in emails that you'll receive from us as well.
So rewinding us just a little bit here, it sounds like as someone responds to surveys, they're kind of filling in the blanks in a profile that gets created on your database, so that when a research scientist may be trying to put together a study that looks at XYZ, and that person may check the boxes for X, Y, and Z, they'll be invited to participate. Am I getting that about right?
Yes, absolutely, John. And thanks for making that point. It's really important for exactly the purposes that you just described for folks to fill out their baseline surveys. Those are the surveys that show up on the dashboard once you register for iConquerMS. And for exactly the reasons that you're talking about, you know, we need to know a little bit about you in order to best match you with opportunities to participate. And so researchers who come to us and who might be interested in, progressive form of MS, for example, or people who have a history on a certain type of treatment, if we don't have that information, we're not going to be able to invite you to participate in those types of opportunities.
But the thing that's always impressed me about iConquerMS, and I should admit that I am a huge fan and participant, but the thing that's always impressed me is that, you know, there are plenty of places, plenty of organizations or academic institutions who are out there recruiting participants to mine data from you. But iConquerMS is really apart from that, in that you also give people the opportunity to dialogue, to be able to ask those questions of the research community, to suggest projects that they feel could have real value to themselves, to others who are in the same position they are, living with multiple sclerosis. So it is much more than merely volunteering data. It's really about helping shape the course of what gets investigated.
Absolutely, John. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that. And I do want to reinforce it, because I think that sometimes people worry when they engage in something like iConquerMS or something that looks like iConquerMS, that really they're just being put in a position where it's, their data is taken from them. And that's not the intention at all. It's a partnership. We are truly invested and interested in working together. And what we say is that we're bridging the iConquerMS community with the researcher community and other stakeholder communities to make sure that research gets done on the topics of highest priority to people affected by the disease. And we have real examples of that as well, where many times our community has sourced topics that have then become high priority items for us, which we're moving forward in different ways in terms of working with researchers and with funders to get those types of topics into a higher visibility. So, for example, we have a task force that's working on aging in MS and working to define, what high priority topics we might move forward in research in that way. You also know from our work together that that the topic of the caregiver role in MS research and in caregiver research in and of its own right is something that that was brought up at our annual leadership summit a few years ago. And now we're moving that work forward in a variety of different ways. So we're really, really, truly interested in working closely with the community to make sure that their high priority topics and questions are the things that become the research of tomorrow.
Well, without trespassing into any confidential information, is it possible for you to talk about or describe any of the recent projects that iConquerMS has been involved in?
Sure, absolutely. One of the things that we've done, and you all may have heard a little bit about this concept, which is patient-focused drug development. So this is the idea where people affected by MS actually work with an industry partner to help them define their drug discovery and development process. So what that means is how drugs are developed, how clinical trials around particular drugs are conducted, what's measured, what's declared a success for a treatment. And so we've actually had two engagements with an industry partner where we've contributed members of the iConquerMS community to work closely with our industry partner to make sure that the treatments that are being developed and how they're being studied are best fit for the people living with the disease. We also have a care partner initiative that's going on. And this is focused on developing a care partner protocol, which I feel funny talking to you about it, John, because this was your idea. And it's something that's that we've been working closely on for the last year. But the care partner protocol will be a living set of recommendations that will be delivered at time of diagnosis and throughout the journey by healthcare providers to the care partner of the person who is being diagnosed with MS. And not only will these be delivered in the healthcare setting, but we're also planning to have a living set of recommendations and resources available online so that people, regardless of where they are in their journey, will be able to have access to those. And then we also, and this is such an incredibly important topic that I'm so glad that we have had the resources to prioritize this, but we have a task force and beyond a few different activities underway right now focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what that means is that we're working very hard to make sure that people of all races and ethnicity, ages, sexes, abilities, et cetera, all dimensions of people living with MS are represented in clinical research. And this is not a, you know, a one-time thing. This is something that we've been committed to for many years at Accelerated Cure Project, but also and also at iConquer MS. And it's there's no question that this will be an area of intense prioritization for us continuing to move forward. So those are just a few snippets. I'm trying to think of some other particularly interesting opportunities that we've had for folks. But there's no question we've had a very busy year in 2020. We did, as you might imagine, we had a COVID-19 survey that we launched in the middle of the year to understand how people were being affected by the pandemic. And we just recently launched, and so anyone that's an iConquer MS member should go check out their dashboard, an update to that survey. We wanted to hear 9 months in how people were doing with the pandemic. And also in 2021, certainly we'll be planning some work in partnership with some other advocacy partners around vaccinations and what those mean to people living with MS.
Well, that's all really important work. And I have to admit, it was fun listening to someone else talk about the Care Partner Protocol. So thank you for that. I tend to talk about it an awful lot myself. For people who are listening who don't know me as well as other listeners may, I spent about 23 years as a caregiver for my wife, Jean, who lived with progressive MS. So I've had some firsthand experience as an MS care partner. And because of that experience, I believe that the healthcare system and patient organizations can all do a better job providing support to care partners. And that support ultimately leads to a better quality of life for both the care partner and the loved one they're caring for. So that's why that Care Partner Protocol is so important to me. And if I can speak about my own experience with iConquer MS, as that project developed a bit of a head of steam, I was able to partner up with two investigators who have literally decades of experience investigating and talking to and writing about MS care partners. So to be partnered up with experts and lead the way in this research has been not only a unique experience for me, but one of the best experiences of my life. So I can only say that the iConquer MS approach to putting people affected by MS in the center of MS research, well, that really works. It really happens. And I hope that as people are listening to us, they're going to want to find out more and get involved. So how can listeners learn more about iConquer MS and get involved and start filling out those baseline surveys we talked about?
Sure. So you can visit iConquerMS.org. So www.iConquerMS.org. I'm sure John will put those in the show notes as well. Also, I welcome anyone that wants to learn more and who wants to reach out to me. John, maybe you can include my email in the show notes as well.
I would be happy
but
to.
Certainly anyone that, great, yeah, I'd be happy to have a conversation with anybody whose interest has been piqued by this and wants to hear a little bit more about what it means to participate either as a community member or in governance or to become better acquainted with the types of things that we do through iConquer MS.
Well, Sarah Loud, thank you for all that iConquer MS is doing to expand MS research and to really amplify the voices of people affected by MS in that research. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, John.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/175. You'll find that link in today's show notes so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. I don't think I have to tell anyone listening to this podcast that the COVID-19 pandemic has intensified and in some cases multiplied the challenges of living with MS. More than ever before, people living with MS need access to reliable information, support, and connection. We're witnessing that even during a pandemic, MS doesn't stop, and neither does the National MS Society. With vital funding from supporters like you, the National MS Society is continuing to meet the urgent and expanding needs of the MS community during these unprecedented times, while ensuring that the MS research community rebounds quickly from COVID-19 so that the progress and momentum toward finding a cure continues. And that's why I hope that as you're able, you'll make a donation to the Society's COVID-19 Response Fund. It couldn't be easier. Just text the word GIVE to 68686, and you'll get a link right to the MS Society's COVID-19 Response Fund webpage. I hope you'll consider contributing today, because it's never been more important. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.